only 12 horses. Were them all allowed together? Matthew 2, verse 1 says,
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Johnson, let's sing another song.
Page 117. O little town of Bethlehem.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
like that name, O Lord Emmanuel. What's that mean, Emmanuel?
God with us.
In the Old Testament, it's Emmanuel, and in Latin, it's an Emmanuel. And in Hebrew, it's Emmanuel with a I, Emmanuel. And so, here we have a song about that.
Oh.
that's talking about a second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's coming to Israel. He's coming for Israel. We must not forget that. Even as our nation is turning against Israel, makes you pretty nervous. Let's open our Bibles again to the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and chapter 2. I want to cover more about shepherds this morning than you ever need to know. Praise the Lord. And so, as we do that, again, this is available on the internet and a PowerPoint slide if you'd like to tune in there. Again, I was going to go ahead and I thought, man, we could all have it on our phone here, but we don't have internet here at the church, and so that's kind of challenging for some of us anyway. But Luke chapter 2, let's talk again about the shepherds who were the heralds. And there are a lot of curious things about shepherds. We want to look at some of them here this morning. And as we do, let's go ahead and take our reading out of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Some of us have memorized this chapter. And so we'll skip down to verse 18. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Look at this verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And as they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Father, praise you again and thank you for shepherds this morning. And I thank you again, Father, as we look at the shepherds here and this account of your gospel. Father, that we could again just recognize the importance of sheep, shepherds, your analogies that you gave, but especially, Father, that we would recognize that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Touch again our worship today. Touch your words. Cause again that they burn in our heart like they did in the heart of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Father, may they be in our mouth continually. And we'll praise you now and thank you for your touch on our worship this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord as we look again at this passage of Scripture and understand that God revealed again to mere shepherds his plan. I like to emphasize the fact that he did that on purpose. Shepherds, again, I mean, he could have told all kinds of people. He could have called the Pharisees together and told them what was going on. How much good do you suppose that would have done? So again, to understand, here he touched the lowliest of the people again, the shepherds. But he also touched those again that traveled from town to town and place to place and had, how do I say this, free time on their hands again. And they were going to be his heralds. And so he revealed to them what he was doing first off in this accounting. And so as we celebrate Christmas here, we're all familiar with the shepherds, but sometimes we haven't given all the thought to what it is that they were sent out to do, to minister, to be a witness of. And listen, pay attention. Sometimes we lose track of what we're supposed to do. Sometimes we it's so tangled in things of this earth that we lose track of the fact that we are to be those heralds today. We're to talk about his birth. We're to celebrate it. We get upset because the world says you can't say Merry Christmas. But listen, what the world's doing is, again, should be a little concern to us. What should be of great concern to us is what we're doing again. That we need again to be the heralds, the shepherds, as it were. And so as we look at that, let's just look at a few things on these shepherds here that we have recorded in Luke chapter 2. First off, again, understand that shepherds were in the field watching their flocks by night. They do not do that in December. They do not do that in the dead of winter. They do that in the spring lambing time, which is probably about the Passover time. And I believe, again, that it makes perfectly logical sense. Even with that information about when shepherds are in the field watching their flocks by night in the land of Israel, that Jesus was born on Passover. God was going to send the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. What day would he be born on? Makes more sense to me that he would be born on Passover, that week of Passover, or even on the very day of Passover. I'm not sure if we could develop that, because again, there would be lots of things going on here in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem. But it was in the springtime, again, that God sent, as near as we could tell, as near as we could make an accurate prediction. It's curious that the timing is not revealed. One thing I can pretty much guarantee, again, at least in my mind, having come from a Roman Catholic home again when I was a child, is that he would not have been born on December 25th, which was the longest day of the longest night of the year in the Catholic, Roman Catholic religion. And so, again, I'm suspecting that we're all wrong as far as worshiping on December 25th. I don't mind that, again, as long as we recognize, again, we're worshiping the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rest of the world, who knows what they're worshiping again, but Precious View are worshiping the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so here, as we look at the adoration of the shepherds, as it's called, notice again that there they were watching their flocks by night, going about their business. Lo, the angel of the Lord, it says in verse 9, came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Again, when you consider the task that you and I have been given as Christians, having seen the glory of the Lord, having seen salvation, you and I might have a tendency to be sore afraid. Now listen, I have no problem with the fear of the Lord. I believe that in the full sense of fear of the Lord, that means fear of the Lord. A lot of the modernist Bibles took that fear thing out and put adoration or some other terms again. So again, understand that no. The fear of the Lord is a good thing. And we need to have that. And it's missing in our society today. But here, as we are to be heralds of God's truth, again, that one thing that will stop us is often fear. And so they were told to be not afraid. And then I bring you good tidings of great joy. Let me say that in Greek. Ready? Gospel. Okay. These guys had the gospel. That's good tidings. And so notice again that you and I are to have good tidings of great joy. And again, here it's brought by the angels to the shepherds. God could have used angels to bring it to the world. He did not. He could have had better witnesses, angels again, who could do greater, far greater things and are We're man made a little lower than the angels. They're mighty angels. They're powerful angels. They're supernatural beings again. And they could have done a better job preaching the gospel to every creature. But God didn't. That's not in God's design. God's design was that you would be that witness. God's design that man would again carry the gospel to every creature. And we're commissioned again 5 times in the Bible. We are commissioned to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to be his witnesses. And again, I want to emphasize that even as we look at the role of these shepherds here in this presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me go ahead and say that Christmas is not necessarily about shepherds. It's not about mangers. It's not about Mary. It's not about a lot of the things that we esteem highly during this time of the year. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, sometimes it takes some effort, even as Christians, it takes some effort through these holidays, through these holy days, that we would again keep that message first and foremost. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The only begotten Son is Christ. The Bible says in John that Andrew first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ, which means the Anointed One. And again, we find even at the conclusion of John, in fact, let's look at that, John chapter 20. Turn over in your Bible, make sure this is underlined in your Bible. John chapter 20, we're to be witnesses and present the gospel. And here again is one of the gospels. We have a summary of the gospel in great depth given, and it's altogether fitting that it be in the gospel of John, where it began with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, they need to be saved. For he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life, it says in the epistle of John. So look here in John chapter 20, and I always like that John, he kind of reminds me of a preacher who has a conclusion several times before he closes again. But look at John chapter 20, and I think we'll pick it up in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus. John chapter 20 and verse 30. Truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And then it says in verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Lots of people believe in Jesus. Obama said he believed in Jesus. He was the president once a little while ago. He said that he believes in Jesus and he likes the teachings of Jesus. And he thought he was a good prophet, but he didn't think he was the Christ. And so notice again the emphasis here that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Anointed One of God. He is the Messiah in the Hebrew and in the Arabic. And so again, Jesus, it takes more than believing in Jesus. Lots of times we see that again in people. They say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Some just will go so far, I believe in God again. But again, understand that here, for salvation to occur, John says you got to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, the one that was promised ever since Genesis 3:15 and all the way through the prophets, the Messiah, the one that would come and be a servant, the one that would bear your sin and my sin on a cross. And again, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. But God hath laid on him, the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. So you got to believe that he is the Christ. Then you have to believe that he is the Son of God. A lot of the modernist scholars get tangled up in over in Daniel. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar looks down and he says, I think the fourth man looks like the Son of God. And they say, he didn't know there was a Son of God. Yeah, he did. The psalmist put it real clear in Psalms chapter 2, where he is again the only begotten Son of God, and that he is going to sit on the throne of David. The wise men knew it. They had the scriptures. They even had the scriptures that gave the timing of the birth of Messiah, the birth of the King of Kings that was to come. And so again, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God. Jimmy Swaggart says, well, we're all sons of God. Okay? Jimmy Swaggart, be gone again. This is the only begotten Son of God. And the only way you could be a Son of God is if you accept the only begotten Son of God. Then he makes you a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, we must believe so far that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And so again, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that makes you a tiny remnant. Don't count yourself in Christendom, and there's a whole bunch of Christendom that believes. No, that's not the case. Christendom, the majority of Christendom comes from a Catholic background, and then the Protestants broke off from them, and they're still trying to do penance. They're still trying to get to heaven by baptisms. They're still trying to get to heaven by every other means of works, but it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace and his grace alone that he saved us. Back to the shepherds again in Luke chapter 2, and you'll notice again that they were given this message, the gospel, that Jesus Christ was born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then they're given a sign in verse 12, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Here's a very physical sign with a very spiritual picture. The swaddling clothes is also the clothes that they would bury a body in. They would wrap them in swaddling clothes. That's probably a coincidence. No, I don't think it's a coincidence that Jesus here is mentioned. And I'll give you a sign, he says, that he's born to die. And that is, again, you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was more than a physical sign so they'd figure out which one was which. They had, again, plenty of indications to figure out who's who here. But again, it was a sign that he was the Christ born to die. And here, lying in a manger. Imagine, born in a barn and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying... I've heard people make a big deal that the angels did not sing. I don't care how they twist scriptures. You can't be praising God very long, but what you're going to be singing. And we know, again, the angels are singers, praise the Lord. And so here, when it says they were saying, I think they were saying it with the melody involved, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. We got a lot of messages. We got a few of our Christmas songs that talk about peace on earth. I just pulled out the words. It's not in our songbook. I was kind of disappointed. I had to pull out of our old songbook about the bell that rings and there is no peace on earth, I said. Boy, again, I could relate to that song. I don't see too much peace on earth. But again, understand that there's peace in here. And there needs to be. Even as this week, I guess tomorrow, they're going to vote on an illegitimate president. Listen, there needs to be peace on earth. We can see the course of our nation and get all disturbed and disgusted. I quit watching the news. It's too depressing again. But again, understand this, that we've got a peace. And you need that peace. In the days that are coming up, you're going to need a peace. And it's not based on politics, okay? It's based on what Christ did for you. And the fact that He made you a shepherd, a herald of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth is still a coming again. I think joy to the world comes to mind when we sing that. And that's talking again about the fact that the Lord's going to rule and reign in this world. And He's going to do it through the Catholic Church. And He's going to do it in this lifetime. And no, I got some problems with that. I'm not an amillennialist that they promote in that song. But I do recognize that there is coming a peace on this earth. Remember the names that were given in Isaiah chapter 9? And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor. Yeah, I think there was two other ones before that. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And so there is a Prince of Peace coming, the song I just sang. O come, Emmanuel, is not only looking for the fact that He came the first time, but He's coming again. He's coming to Israel. And He's coming again for their salvation. And as we study the Bible again, we understand these things. And as we study the Bible, we again understand that, hey, the course of this nation is not going to be supportive of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be when the Son of Man returns. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith in the United States of America? Well, that's a good question, I suppose. Now, we see tides have turned. And so again, as we look again at the Scriptures here, understand that no matter if there's peace on earth and a majority rule that seeks the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not going to find that in this world, but what you will find is a peace that passes all understanding, dwelling in your soul, and I hope dwelling in your message. It's called the gospel message. And so as the days grow darker, we all the more have a message of light to bring to the world, even as these shepherds. Look what it says, verse 15, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now and go even unto Bethlehem and see the things which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And again, as we run through these slides up here, there'll be one that shows again that shepherds have a lot of free time on their hands. Let me see if I can't find that slide and read through some of that list of things. It's no coincidence that God was going to use shepherds. And again, I go on through the slides and also in a couple other messages that I preach on this subject that here again I'm called a shepherd of the flock. Pastors, pastor is another word for shepherd. And again, it comes from the fact that they would lead them into the pasture. And pastors became called shepherds. And pastors today, again, are to be shepherds of the flock. And so I've got several messages that I preach to me about what a shepherd is supposed to do. But let me go ahead and say this. In this society that we live in, in this world that we live in Christendom that we're surrounded with, that Christians need a shepherd. Christians need to have someone that they call pastor. They don't need someone that they call priest. They don't need a guy wearing a black dress and calling himself a priest. They need a pastor. And again, as I preach this, again, it gets all over me again that I need to be the pastor that God would have me to be. But I like to emphasize the fact that, hey, people need a pastor. I go and visit several folks that are not members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and I like to tell them, you need a pastor. You need to have a pastor. As best I can, I'll pastor them, but again, until they're members of Good Samaritan Baptist Church, they really don't have a pastor, per se. And so, again, in God's economy, in the way God has set up the church, there are pastors, teachers, who are to, again, feed the flock. If sheep didn't need fed by a pastor, God wouldn't have put it in scriptures. And he wouldn't have given such commands to pastors that they'd be careful about certain things as being a pastor. I can go through the 23rd Psalm and just fall under such conviction that I'm not the pastor I should be. Because again, there again is an outline of things that pastors ought to do. And there's several verses in this presentation that's again about pastors and rebuke to pastors because they aren't what they're meant to be. But let's go ahead and look at this idea that pastors here were chosen by God. Shepherds had, number one, time on their hands. Shepherds, again, we were down in Peru, and I always enjoyed, they weren't watching sheep as much as they were watching llama. But they're out there, and they're just sitting out there reading a book, keeping watch of their herd. And that's all they did. They had a dog, again, that kept track of most things. And so they was just sitting out there for hours at a time out in the wilderness. Some of us have been doing that during hunting season again. Not for hours, plural. Some of us freeze to death in less than an hour. But just sitting out there again with nothing to do but watch God's green earth, which is not as green as it used to be. Listen, we sit out there and again understand, wow, shepherds had all that time on their hands. And so they had time to ponder, to think about things. I've read several accounts of, I was impressed with one shepherd who took himself a dictionary and went out and learned the whole Greek language. And learned Greek. And he came back to the scholars and they scoffed him and said, you don't know Greek. Turns out he knew Greek better than they did. Just because he had time on his hands. Shepherds ought to have time on their hands. I praise the Lord that I'm retired. I'm not working a second job. And consequently, I've got time on my hands. I sit around. I probably shouldn't tell you this. Preachers only work on Sundays. That's what they say, you know. But boy, I sit around my study sometimes for hours. I sit up there for 5-6 hours in a row just pondering scriptures and saying, wow, this is good stuff. And so again, shepherds have time. Praise the Lord for that. Shepherds have a curiosity. I think that's too probably related to having that time, but they got a curiosity to dig into things, to explore things, to look up things. And I praise the Lord for internet. I told someone this week that if you want to fact check something, the internet is not the place to do it again. They're filled with liars. And again, they're owned by liars, and they're controlled by liars, and they're censored by liars. And so again, the internet's probably not a good place, but I'm still amazed that I can sit in my study upstairs overlooking Juanita Lake, and I can sit up there and look up things that were written by authors, again, Tertullian, again, those authors, again, that were right back there in the 3rd and century. I can look up their writings and read them. It's an amazing thing that what we have at our fingertips. And so shepherds have a curiosity. Shepherds have an initiative, an ability, again, to dig into things and an initiative to do that. One thing I was warned about is and I didn't need too much warning on this because I'd seen it already in my 23-year military career, that a pastor has a tendency to be lazy. And again, they get to the point where they sit around and don't do anything. Boy, never let that be you. Have an initiative, an ability to investigate spiritual things. And the shepherd said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. As I read through my Bible this year, I'm amazed at the things that the Lord hath made known unto us. And the things that are at our fingertips, things that I've overlooked for 50 years of my salvation are popping off the page right now, and I'm saying, wow, I never seen that before. And so again, understand here, they have an initiative to investigate spiritual things that shows up in these shepherds. Number four, shepherds had the connections and the networks to be heralds. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Pastors need these qualities. Just them four, again, would be a good start. And then I ask the question, do you have a pastor? You need to have a pastor. Everyone needs a pastor. And then God's word says you need one. So as we look at those qualities again, understand that, boy, we've got in our laps a tremendous accounting, a tremendous book. And all of us are to be students. Paul said to young Timothy, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I want to encourage you even through this Christmas time. I had a lot of other things I wanted to say about a sheep. Behold the Lamb of God. About that does it, I think, about sheep. And then Isaiah that I already quoted, all we like sheep have gone astray. There's a bunch of things I wanted to say about shepherds again, and all the references that God made about sheep that were like a sheep without a shepherd. And God wants his sheep to have a shepherd. And listen, praise the Lord, you have a shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We looked at the names, and listen, I always like to say that you've got a counselor on board. Some of you need counsel, okay? And praise the Lord, you've got a counselor on board. Talk to him again. The Lord Jesus Christ living inside of you is our counselor. And I'm an under-shepherd. I do what I can. But again, understand that we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our shepherd. So there's much more we could say about sheep. There's much more we could say about shepherd. But again, the Bible is clear that you and I are the heralds. You and I are the witnesses. It's been said, and you've heard it often, that you are going to be the only Bible that some people might ever read. Boy, let's be faithful. Let's be witnesses. Let's herald the truth, even as these did. Think about what these shepherds did. For how long? For 33 years. Eh? Until the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were the witnesses. They were the ones. Mary, of course, pondered these things in her heart. But again, those shepherds were the ones that went from town to town, from community to community, and talked again about the Messiah is here. That's why in John, there, chapter 1, or chapter 2, when John baptized him, immediately there was disciples there. And they was looking for the Messiah. They was looking for the one. And John and Andrew and Peter and Nathaniel, and they came and they followed because they had found the Messiah. And immediately again, they left and followed him and were his disciples until he disappeared in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. But boy, when he came back, he found them at their nets, and immediately they left their nets and that great draught of fishes, and they followed him. Let's be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let's be his witnesses, even through this Christmas time. Father, praise you again, and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this little bit that it says about shepherds, and thank you again, Father, for the volume of the book that covers so much more about what shepherds are to be and the fact that we need a shepherd. Father, thank you for the commands that this has leveled on my heart as a pastor to be a shepherd. And I pray again, even as we walk through these Christmas celebrations, that you tug on our heart anew and afresh each day, each week, each scripture verse, Father, that you'd cause again that we'd be more effective as your ministers, and that we could again have all things made new and become ministers of reconciliation. Father, we'll praise you. Father, if we were effective and good ministers of reconciliation, there'd be someone, because of our love for you and our walk with you, probably, that would get saved this week. I pray that you'd lead us that way and help us find that person. But help us again to be a herald to everybody we'd see, to open our mouth, to cause that we'd speak forth the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing again that your Son caused again that we could freely have a gift of salvation, and we could distribute that gift to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our world around us. I pray that you'd help us with that. We'll praise you. Thank you now again that we could again worship this morning. Pray your blessing on our service. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Let's stand. And sing again another Christmas song. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and sing that. Let's sing this one. Joy to the World. I just said that's a Kingdom Age song. And so, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. I think that's in your book someplace. Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Anybody find a page number for that? 105. 105 in your song.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore. You give us in all different ways. Help us to, as we depart here, to get safely home, and help us to think about you and exalt you this season when people are a little more apt to listen to it. Thank you for all you do. Bless each one of us now as we go. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Lord bless you for being in worship.
Oh, I can't breathe.
Oh, I can't breathe.